Ladies and gentlemen, just before we start the show, I just wanted to discuss something very important, something close to my heart. I haven't told Jake that I'm doing this. I'm just quickly recording it before he jumps on the show. I just wanted to discuss the Essendon Football Club and the 2020 season. I'll keep it brief. Where do I start? God. 2020, huh? You son of a bitch. Firstly, on a positive, I'd just like to say thank you to Connor McKenna. Absolutely loved watching you play, mate. You know, at times you did test me. You tested a supporter. But what can I say? That's probably just the Irish in you. But truly, Connor, go well, my friend. Hope to see you don the sash one more time. Who knows, maybe in the future you might come back. But God bless, mate. God bless. I believe the saying goes, the fish rots from the head, and look, at the end of the day, what the hell would I actually know? But when the CEO, Xavier Campbell, comes out and time and time again says, you know, be patient and gives all these excuses and all this kind of jazz, it sounds like excuses a kid gives their teacher when they can't explain why they haven't brought their homework to school. Xavier. That's where it all starts, but who next? Adrian Dodoro. Dodoro, eh? God bless him. You know, he disguises that, you know, we've done so well with some picks, and granted, he has picked up some absolute guns, and they've been great for our club, but he's been there for 20 years, and what have the Bombers done in 20 years, Adrian? Not saying I'm not the one to make the decisions. Not saying he should leave, but I do know that Soss is looking for a job. Woosha, mate, I really do appreciate everything you've done for the club. You know, you may be just the smiling assassin who, truly at the deep, heart of things, you maybe don't give a shit. And that's okay. You did everything you had to do to get us out of the rut that we were in. You were the steady ship, and we thank you for that. And I wish you all the best as well, going back to Perth or whatever you do, John. But the great Paul Ruse once said that your percentage actually has a bigger factor on how your team's going rather than your win-loss record. And our percentage this year, 82.9%. 82.9. What is that? 82.9. What is this, a Christian radio station? Recently we've got criticism from Matty Lloyd, Damien Beverell, and the latest from Dean Wallace, all greats of the club, saying that Essendon are a bunch of imposters. I think there needs to be some sort of change, and look, I know nothing when I think about it. I know nothing, let me tell you. But I do know this, I love the Essendon Football Club. It's something needs to happen. There needs to be change. Truck, I pray you're the man for the job. Godspeed, everybody, and please, enjoy the show.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Benny, welcome to another episode of the Magoos. The AFL season is getting right to the pointy end. It's sort of snuck up on us a little bit, but the sun's out, the wind's blowing, the birds are chirping. And finals footy's in the air, not in Melbourne, of course, but up north, Benny.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually haven't thrown to our special guest, but in terms of you talking about the sun shining, how's your do you get hay fever, Jake?
I do. I do actually get hay fever, yeah.
What about even through the mask when you're going for a walk?
I'm an eye sufferer mainly for
everything.
That might surprise you potentially, but
doesn't surprise me. No, I get a bit through the eyes as well. But I was just thinking, there's no worse feeling than when you've got a sneeze coming on, but you also have a mask on too. So is there a protocol around that? Obviously, sneezing in the mask.
Hay fever symptoms can also be COVID-19 symptoms. So should everyone who experiences hay fever be getting tested? That's why I'm happy to be an eye sufferer, not so much a nasal sufferer and a throat sufferer at this time, given the pandemic, of course.
Well, very professional response there. Shall we just move on then?
Well, I didn't want to get slammed by our tens of listeners to go and get tested because I am okay. But we thought, Ben, given what we saw on the weekend, we sort of knew Carlton wouldn't be playing finals, Essendon won't be playing finals, and we thought, well, we might as well add another desperate supporter to the mix, and we've welcomed back one of the Magoo's favourite sons, is Fox Footy's Sammy Daddo, who joins us for this week's episode. Sammy, welcome back to the Magoo's.
Thanks for having me back, boys. Appreciate it. And I'm not a hay fever sufferer, so all clear my end at the moment.
All clear. Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, we could tell that because he's sitting outside just flaunting it.
Correct.
Yeah, if you're just listening, he's definitely outside. What time does the sun go down actually at the moment? It's getting... That's not... I'm just...
Hard hitting question. That's not part of your work. Not part of your pre-work.
I told you to reset.
6:30?
So we've got about 45 minutes before we start losing Sammy.
Before 9:40.
We've got about 10 minutes till the mosquitoes come out. And for myself and fellow pale people out there, that's not a good time. So I might be shortly.
I can actually say that I do not get bitten by mosquitoes. So I may suffer from hay fever and eye-related hay fever symptoms, but not a mosquito.
There you go.
By tea.
What blood type are you?
I'd rather be you, Jake, so well done.
Yes, correct, Sam. Mm. Correct, you would. Speaking of who we'd rather be, we'd obviously all rather be inside the top eight. And, Sammy, we know you're a passionate Demons man with a strong voice, both inward and outward of the club. Talk to us where you see the Ds at, how this season's gone for a Ds supporter in 2020.
It's a tough one because I think hopefully Melbourne supporters will agree with me that you're so frustrated, but in equal measure, not surprised with the way anything goes with Melbourne. You sort of build yourself up after a couple of wins and you sort of get sucked in. And then when the big moments come, they've really sort of failed to stand up. The weekend was appalling. Unable to adapt to conditions and make the most of a chance against Fremantle, and with the Giants losing to Adelaide as well, that really presented as an opportunity which has just completely gone past them. So unfortunately, in a way, there's still a chance, and it's really frustrating going into another game that matters this weekend.
I don't think anyone's had a worse trip to far north Queensland than what Melbourne did. Like, it's a lovely part of the world, and they went there for what, 6-7 days maybe, and pretty much blew their season up
against two teams which aren't exactly at the top end of the ladder. So, there was opportunity there and it's come crashing down. So, unfortunately, they find themselves in the position they're in.
Yeah. Do you think, obviously every team wants to make the eight, but are you going to be disappointed now, the way that the last three games that they've dished up? Would you, I did speak about this last week with Jake, I think it was off air actually, about how I'm, as an Essendon supporter, not too disappointed because I'd rather not be making up the numbers and just being another and just get slaughtered by whoever finishes fifth.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think for a team that, played in one final series since 2006, I think you probably want the experience of finals. I feel like I still feel with Melbourne that a team wouldn't want to play us when we get it right. Which makes us a dangerous proposition when you get to those elimination finals. But so I'd rather have the experience of being in there, I think, for the playing group.
Yeah, we had that conversation, didn't we, Ben? And I would take an elimination final and, the chance of continuing on your season any day over getting over just assuming that you won't win. But, I know it's been a long time since Essendon have won a final, so I can I guess I can sympathise that. But the Bombers, Ben, again, we're just there. They're in that ruck of teams that we just don't really know about, do we, at the moment?
No, and I definitely don't want to talk too much about it because you end up saying things you regret on this show, and particularly I do, but that's actually kind of how the show just rolls on. I don't think I'll spend too much time. I've listened to a few Die Hard Essendon podcasts this week, which I don't normally do. I just wanted to feel what the thoughts on other supporters and stuff were, and it's not pretty. It reminds me of last year when Carlton had a couple of question marks on, you know, top down sort of things and what needs to change at the top, and do we need some sort of, you know, as Trump would say, drain the swamp. I don't want to dive into much of that, but it's not pretty. I don't know where we sit. Game plan, like, it goes out the window a minute and a half into the game. I don't know if you boys watched it on Sunday or not, but Jake, you know, in your head, like, it was the most enjoyable thing you could do on a Sunday. It wasn't pretty, and just sick of it. I don't really want to. Yeah, I don't. It's no point going on a rant about it. But we're not a very good club.
Yeah, there's big problems there. I think he's the current senior coach, and John Worsfold probably would be the biggest one to just probably time to go for old mate Wisher. He's seemingly definitely run his course at that club and potentially in the competition. So, I don't take joy, Ben, in watching Essendon get pulverised.
Well, you say it with a grin on your face. So.
There's elements of Essendon, you know, getting reality checks. But the footy season moves so quickly at the moment that, you know, you can't really keep track of who's good and who's bad and who we potting this week. And I think that Melbourne are probably one of the best cases of that. I mean, Adelaide have sort of had a little mini resurgence, and, you know, all these teams that we seemingly have written off for a long time can still make the finals. And, you know, the Bulldogs were the flavour of the month to bag a while ago, and then Melbourne, and then they came good and then they went bad again. But someone who's been at the coalface is our friend Sam, of all things footy. Footy Frenzy means that all the people in there at Fox Footy are working round the clock overtime, you know, doing plenty of peddling. Sammy, can you sort of take us behind, you know, that sort of unique look at footy broadcasting, and how different has that been in 2020, and what sort of challenges have you and the team faced?
I think... The major challenge at the start was when footy came back. It was so devastating when we lost at the start of the year. I think really getting up at the start of the year for what the season would bring was quite hard initially, and then you just sort of forced to get in the flow with it, especially with the Frenzy, because I mean there's a lot of different producers of Fox Footy. In my case, like, when you're producing matches, you produce one match and you've always got your eye on the next one as well, because it's a couple of days later and you sort of just get into the rhythm of things. And it was almost a bit disheartening when we came out of the first Frenzy and had that sort of couple of weeks of normal footy, I should say. And to pick yourself up again for that Frenzy, yeah, it's been a challenging year. I think the way Fox, I can only speak for Fox, and I'm sure Channel 7 as well, the way everything's done at Fox has been tremendous, and the way we've sort of have to be agile with the way the season's worked. You know, we've got, you know, blokes like Lynchy going to every single game in Queensland. We've got Rue doing every game in Adelaide. We've got call teams calling from Melbourne. You know, it's been a pretty incredible experience. You know, Speedy's calling from New South Wales, Hub, and Paps is still at the games in WA. And, you know, his special commentators are here in Melbourne. And then, you know, it's just been an incredible effort, I think, by the entire year to get this season done, which I think is no surprise to many people.
How have you found, in terms of footy mania specifically, like, we've obviously gone through two rounds of you know, a game, at least a game every day. Have you found that from your job perspective, has that been... better or worse, or do you, or just not too sure?
I sort of really liked it at the start. I really liked the way you just go in, you work, your sort of head's in that space, and you just keep in that sort of zone where you're always ticking over, you're always doing something. And there wasn't a lot of days off, and I don't know how that would sort of look consistently going forward over the coming seasons, but it was a lot of fun. It had a bit of novelty to it as well. So I think that sort of gets you through. But you certainly got to be on top of your work and organize and that sort of stuff. So, but it has been a fantastic experience and really enjoyed it.
Sammy, from a broadcast perspective and from your footy media hat, a 17 game season, can it be the new normal, for the want of a better term, because we don't really like to use that term, or do you think that the AFL defaults back to its regular imbalanced fixture as of next year?
I'm so for the 17 game season for so many reasons. I think first of all, for the evenness of the competition, that should be number one, really. Of course, so the way the AFL wants to get games and that sort of thing, I don't know, but I imagine they're probably looking at diverting back to the way it was, which is probably an easy choice. But I'm all for the 17 game season. Teams still having a bye. That's fine. I think the way it's worked, and everyone just plays each other once, you're probably flip and flop each year where teams go, how many times they go to Perth or who they play and where they sort of travel. But I think first and foremost for the evenness of the competition, that's a big tick.
It's a bit like the family Christmas, one year we'll go to mum's extended, the next year we'll go to dad's, that sort of setup, like going to Perth and playing in Melbourne.
Yeah, absolutely. You can imagine, I mean, the way the teams are currently placed, you sort of, one year you're like, bugger, we've got to go to WA and play West Coast. But, the next year, sweet, we've got Freo over there. So it's slightly easier task. But, that's always going to change with the way teams flip and flop up the ladder. So, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer, to be honest.
Mm. On top of that, though, like from a supporter's point of view and probably from your point of view too, it's a no-brainer. But I guess there's the big issue of making money for the AFL and advertising and, more games equals more money, that sort of stuff. And particularly next season, if let's just say they go back to normal, I doubt from, a financial perspective, they'd want to actually go to 17. They'd probably want to get as much money as they can. I mean, you see the pop-ups on during the football, like the actual, Maccas will be advertising or whoever, and it'll actually small on the screen because they're just trying to find any way they can just to sort of get some of that cash back.
Yeah. I think, I can't remember how long was on the current broadcast deal. So obviously that's a factor as well. I think they might have renegotiated a little bit of that once this season sort of went up in the air. But, that's obviously going to be a major thing for the AFL to figure out. I feel that it's been so good this year. And I look at something like the Big Bash, which has really been drawn out and just keeps expanding with how many games they've got going. And I think it just gets drawn out a little bit too much and you start losing a bit of flavour. And you look at, from a competition perspective, you look at how many teams are in this run to the finals and how close it is around that sort of, 6th to 10th mark or whatever it is. I think it just makes for a better competition all around.
We've discussed, that logjam to make the finals, and something we thought we'd do, we each set each other just a little bit of pre-work, a little bit of homework here, which took me and Sammy back to our uni days, both assuming that the other person wouldn't do it, so did double. But we thought that we jump on the ladder predictor. It's something that a lot of people do, and a lot of people do from a long way out. But we thought, we wouldn't do that this time around. We'd wait. And so at the time of recording, Brisbane are playing the Gold Coast tonight. And then after that, everyone will have their two final rounds remaining. So we thought that that now is a really good time to try and predict what the next couple of weeks holds. So I reckon, Sammy, as the guest on the show, we're going to let you take us through your eventual top eight and we'll sort of do a little bit of a cross-examine on all of them and maybe how we got there and how they differ.
No worries. Might as well start from the top. So I've got Port Adelaide finishing on top, level on points with Brisbane, but up on percentage. I've got the Cats in third, followed by the Tigers, West Coast out of the top four in the fifth position, St Kilda, GWS, and the Bulldogs. make up the top eight. So
no Collingwood.
No Collingwood. That's going to be the talking point. And he doesn't reckon his D's can go in, which is probably fair enough. But I thought he might have just come in and go, nah, we're going to get him. But okay, so we've got Sammy's there. So before we do too much of an analysis, Ben, hit us with yours, please.
Top four, the exact same as Sammy. So Port Adelaide, Brisbane, Geelong, Richmond. Then I had St Kilda above West Coast for fifth. Same wins, but slightly better on percentage. And look, when I did the predictor, I didn't do points. Did you guys do margins? You did?
No, I didn't do margins. Only when
I was trying to get Carlton to make the eight. Yeah. Well, if we beat Adelaide by 2,420, we might be a chance.
Well, I don't know how it works if you just do the tip. I guess it's like an average thing.
Yeah, it's like 14 or 15 points, I think, if we use the same.
Well, I'll go off that. Yeah, so St Kilda 5th, West Coast 6th, then the Doggies, and I did have Collingwood making the eighth spot with that draw, just getting them ahead of the D's.
GWS and Melbourne missing out.
Yeah. In fact, by the looks of it, it looks like Carlton finish above GWS on mine, just.
Yeah, I think we might have the same ladder here, Ben. So I've got my adopted boys, Port, on top, who I said they would make the top two, and they're going to lock away top spot, which is nice, with a healthy percentage. Then I've got Brisbane, Geelong, Richmond, which we've all agreed on the top four, and then I've got St Kilda, West Coast, Western Bulldogs, and Collingwood. So, Benny, you and I are the same. I've got Melbourne missing out by 2 points, and then 4 points behind them are Carlton and GWS. Look, we're not too dissimilar there. So obviously, with only two rounds left, that's assuming most of the expected results.
I'm guessing have we all tipped the Richmond against Geelong? Is that probably the buffer there in terms of third and fourth?
I had Geelong winning that.
Cats,
oh, yeah. Did you?
There.
Okay, there you go.
I really flipped and flopped with tomorrow night's game with St Kilda and West Coast. Mm. I couldn't decide. Just with the number of players that West Coast has out, I ended up swinging towards St Kilda.
I don't trust West Coast's hub form, personally.
Awful in Queensland. Awful in Queensland.
Yeah,
I had a theory
they play the Bombers
until West Coast beat Essendon that West Coast were a sneaky chance to completely miss the eight. With the way they were going in Queensland. So, I don't trust their Queensland form, and St Kilda get the chocolates, which probably gets them in the eight.
There.
Wow. And, I mean, the obvious one in all of our ladders, except yours, Sam, you've got a little bit of a GWS resurgence. I'm interested in how you can possibly see that occurring, given that we've just witnessed them go down to the Crows, who, two, 3 weeks ago, were probably the worst side to ever have played. In the professional era.
I liked what Adelaide offered the other night, but that's getting away from the fact. I've got the Giants beating the D's this Saturday. I can't see it happening for the D's based off what I saw there. So it's probably not so much a Giants story. I've got more of their opposition. So I've got, Melbourne, they're up against, offered nothing against Fremantle, Sydney past 2 weeks. I can see the Giants winning that at the Gabba. And then the next round, it was the Giants St Kilda game. And again, I was lucky enough to produce the game, St Kilda Hawthorn. I watched St Kilda and I thought this team will be making up the numbers if they get there. Obviously, backing them tomorrow night against an understrength West Coast. But I don't think against the sort of talent that Giants have, and both teams' ball movement has been pretty woeful over the last couple of weeks. So I think the Giants can sneak that one.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. This is what they want us to talk about, and we won't harp on it too much, but the sports bet odds are in this ladder predictor as well. And to have St Kilda at $51 and West Coast at $6 is just a little bit of an interesting tell in the market there. Which probably says a lot.
Doggies paying 81s.
Yeah, the Saints are 51 and the D's are 41, so figure that one out.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But, I would suggest that most footy people sort of have that same feel about St Kilda, is that, they're probably more consistent than some of the teams below them, which is why they're sort of there, but their worst can be terrible and their good is not good enough. So wouldn't surprise me. But, and Sam, I was interested that Collingwood didn't feature in your finals. I think, I mean, I'm... I'm not a closet Collingwood fan. I don't care for them at all. But I think that, you know, if they can, if they get some of these names coming back, I know they're sort of starting to run out of time and the squeeze might come on. I think that they'll be the team that, I mean, I think they'll make it. But if they get in there, if you're St Kilda, oh, my ladder, St Kilda finishing fifth and Collingwood eighth, then St Kilda would just, you'd be absolutely spewing, because I think Collingwood are going to come into this final series and they're the only hope for mine of outside the top four that could win it right now as well. Like in terms of where all those teams sit, Collingwood are the only one outside of Port, Brisbane, Geelong and Richmond that I think can win it.
Putting a full, a big line through West Coast, are you?
Big line, huge line. And the thing for me too is that Sammy didn't have many stop eight, so he's obviously doesn't believe the hype about some of these returning names, Sam.
I absolutely do. If Collingwood make it, absolutely, they're a challenger. The way I had the results going, I don't see it. I don't see them beating Port Adelaide. They'll get the W against Gold Coast, I think it is. But then you've got the Dogs with two easy opponents or easier opponents. Getting in, Giants winning their two games and St Kilda nicking one tomorrow night against West Coast. It just doesn't fall their way. So the draw ends up hurting them in the end because their percentage is better than the Giants, the Dogs, and they just stay behind on those 2 points lost in that draw to Richmond.
So, Sammy, you'll probably be a little bit more in the know than any of us. Are we thinking that, you know, your Port Adelaide's and your West Coast of the world will get home finals, a bit of a fly in, fly out, or will we all be up in Brisbane and the Gold Coast playing them all in there, do we think?
I dare say we'll be playing them all in Queensland. I'm not sure what the state policy is in Adelaide. I presume they don't have to, what's the
quarantine.
Word? Quarantine, sorry. When they get into Adelaide, I'm not sure about that, but they definitely do going back to WA. So I think
I think they do. Bombers play Port Adelaide in Port, at fly Adelaide in, Oval. Yeah. So that, I think that's a fly in.
Yeah, right. So I think Port Adelaide can get away with it, but definitely West Coast can't. And they was, I think there was a bit of spitballing amongst producers. Would you? And this is completely, you know. Zero credibility to this chat. If you're West Coast and you've got these players sort of touch and go heading into finals, why would you risk any against North Melbourne? And why wouldn't you send them home? Because there's talk that they're going to go home anyway before flying back to Queensland. So why wouldn't you go back to WA a week early, have your 2 weeks back home and then head back to Queensland? So it's an interesting conversation, and North got into strife about it, and this is what brought about the bye in the first place, heading into finals. So it was just an interesting concept that someone's spat up in the office.
Yeah, so we've landed on our top eight, lads. Can we map our way through to a premier at this stage?
Are you actually asking for a tip for?
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, you know,
it's hard to. I sort of romanticise about a couple of teams, and watching Geelong on the weekend. As much as I hate to admit it, they are a well-oiled machine and playing some fantastic footy. But I think as far as like team, considering like they've had a few injuries and they've definitely gone through a lot off the field, Richmond's still in the top four with all this going on. That scares me. I think if they could just get the wheels rolling like they have in the past, I think they could win another one.
Personally, I was all aboard Brisbane, and I don't think if Harris Andrews is going to be touch and go in their finals or coming back for a prelim or something like that, I don't think they're a chance. I think he's so key there. So I sort of see myself leaning towards Geelong. As you said, Ben, the way they're going at the moment, they're absolutely motoring. Their game plan is stacking up. They've got Tommy Hawkins on fire. They just give him the space he needs. Their forward 50 craft is way better than any other team at the moment. The only thing is we've seen this before where they've peaked too soon, and you know that sort of lends to a lock preliminary final loss at some stage. But I think if I had to put some money on the line, I'd be going the Cats for a safe option.
Yeah, and for me, I've worked my way through to what is a Port Adelaide Geelong grand final with, and I'm happy to stick with Port as a, they were a pre-season prediction to be up the top, so I've got no real reason to oppose them. I think there's some untrustworthy teams in that lot. I'm not sure that Brisbane, I've never really been sold on Brisbane, even with Harris Andrews, but without him, you know, they'll really need to rely on hopefully, for their sake, some home finals and then using the Gabba to their advantage. But if they sort of happen to bounce into a part of the draw where they get away fixtures and teams might maybe try and play them at Metricon if possible, then that's sort of, they sort of lose their home ground advantage with that. And then obviously I think whilst I rate Collingwood as a chance from outside the top four, I think it's still just going to be too tough for them to get past the second week. If in my sort of bracket, they end up facing Richmond, who are in pretty good touch. But I think Port Adelaide and Geelong are the two teams to beat, lads. And I think that, yeah, that would be a grand final that I would really, really be keen to watch. I mean, I'll be watching any denomination of grand final. But, yeah.
Just with the people you live with.
Yes, of course, unfortunately, given those, unless maybe Sammy can sneak me into the Fox footy studios and we can watch it all in there under lights.
We're strict rules at Fox, mate. Very it'd be a pretty good day on the couch watching the Cox played into a bit of grand final action.
We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Yeah, maybe nice. Some sort of Trojan horse setup we could try, Jake. what's something Fox footy would fall for the two of us to sneak into?
Oh, what do we think?
Sammy, any help? What do you guys fall for all the time?
Doesn't want to lose his job here.
Well, how can I sneak some people into my work and get everyone fired? Geez.
We might have to leave you with that one because
we'll watch it on the couch then.
Correct. Yeah.
Sammy, just before we let you go, we did touch on that night grand final from a broadcasting point of view. What's the feel around the traps about how this will go? Will it be a permanent fixture moving forwards as well?
I think from a broadcasting point of view, it's funnily enough, Fox is the one game Fox can't show live. Every year, so that's right still. So, but you can see the best pre-game, halftime, and post-game analysis as always. But I think, for a broader perspective, I think a night grand final is fantastic, and it's a free swing at it because we've been sort of flirting with this idea of having a night grand final for the last few years, especially. And you know, some journos go out and stick their head on the line and say, you know, in March, it's definitely happening this year. And every single year, it's an afternoon grand final. So the great thing is, it's a free swing at it, and if it goes well, I can't see us going back.
There you go. Can't see us going back.
No, isn't that just a juicy little headline to leave us on?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Before we do actually go, though, actually just out of curiosity, Sam, do you have much to do with the Fox Footy, like the graphics and stuff that they've been using, particularly this season? I absolutely love it, the way they go about like running through plays and, you know, replays and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you're talking your sort of lab graphics or
yeah, all that kind of jazz. Yeah.
Yeah, I think not personally in terms of doing the, you know, final touches to it all, but in terms of concept and that sort of thing, that's our role as producers to sort of come up with those in with the commentators and come up with great ideas. And you know, it's a lot of fun sort of chatting with these guys that have been in the game so long and give so much to the game and coming up with these ideas and analyzing the game to within an inch of its life. And it's a lot of fun, you know, you learn so much about footy. It's almost like a little mini coach's box, and it's just a great way to sort of look at the game, and something I think I'm, you know, very, very privileged to be involved with.
Beautiful. And do you think? Sorry, you go, Jake.
No, you.
I was just with all the extra tidbits that you get, you know, that you find out, as you just said, through like everyone, all the experts about football. Has that helped your tipping or hindered it?
My tipping. To be honest, I'm actually not much of a tipping competition guy. I have a head-to-head competition with the director at Fox, and we just go one out, the two of us, tipping away for the entire season. We have a rule that if you get the margin or within five of the margin on the first game of every round, you get an extra point. So you know what? That's my tipping. And you know what? This year has been horrible. So clearly experience in the game means absolutely nothing when it comes to tips.
Yeah. Now, Sammy, as we are going to let you go shortly. The sun's starting to go down there. We can see it starting, to glow a little bit there. So we'll have to get you. We'll have to get you back in
golden hour.
Nice little townhouse very shortly. But I've known you for a long time now, and something you've never been shy of is name dropping. So we had a question come in on the socials, and the people wanted to know who's your best famous friend at Fox Footy. Out of all the pundits and all the people that walk the halls, who would you say is like your best buddy from the lot of them?
Who's my best buddy? I think in terms of all the analysis and everything we've done, I've worked so closely with Kingy over the last few years. I had a lot to do with Friday nights when we had the lab. And then obviously we'd come game day if we're rostered on a game together. He's a lot of fun to work with. I don't know anyone else that devotes his self more to the game. So we've worked, really closely together, and I sort of cherish our relationship together, our working relationship and friendship. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
I believe there was a part two to that question as well, and that was any chance of getting him on the Magoos?
I can put the call out. He's a very busy man, but considering he's pretty much doing a game every day. So,
he's busy.
But you know what? If he finds time, I'll get him on.
Now, sort of wondering, Sam, if you ever spoke about me that way when we're at uni together doing group assignments and things like that. Did you used to tell Jake, your other mates that you know
me? Absolutely not.
Wouldn't expect anything less either. Hey, Sammy, great to have you back on the podcast, my friend. Your knowledge is always appreciated by both of us and the Magoos community. So good luck for the rest of the season. Hope the D's can maybe finish it off with a win or two for you, and enjoy the rest of the footy.
Hey, boys, thanks for having me on, and enjoy the last couple of rounds of footy and finals. Love listening and watching the show. A lot of fun.
Smooth 91.5. Smooth. Jake, obviously with drafts this year, do you actually know what's going to happen with the draft?
I saw when the timing was.
Timing, but like how do they go about, like how are teams going to go about scouting?
Oh, it'll be obviously a lot tougher, I think. There might have been interstate kids, maybe, I dare say, that might have been able to play either local footy. But the Sandful are still playing, so there must be some other comps around where, I guess, non-Victorian kids might have been able to get a little bit of footy in. But, I mean, with the scouting these days, I think that they've got – I know they do change their mind late, and top eight
seasons young
can
kids.
Define things. I would say at least all clubs are in the same position if they're picking up a Victorian kid. But so many clubs these days, you know, they know from so far out who they want, and, you know, it might change if there's a bolter, but but, you know, and with all the academies and all that sort of stuff. So
it'll be
more difficult, no doubt.
Do you feel better this year if you're an interstate club going, well, we've still got our leagues running and we know for a fact there's going to be some Vic clubs pinching players from our league? And do you think they're just, you know, licking their fingers just because in a few years' time, with all the homesickness, they go home factor. You develop them, we'll take them back.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I hadn't really thought about it that way. I think that
I've been doing plenty of thinking about this, Jake.
Just another layer of the COVID puzzle, isn't it?
As a young Victorian, what would you say? You're 17 years old, you know, turning 18. You're being compromised, but you were touted. What are your ways to sort of get noticed, do you reckon, during this time?
As in here, stay relevant. From a footballing perspective.
Oh,
Ben, the power of personality and the power of conversation will never die. If you can, you know, like Carlton.
Well, you can just add the list boss on LinkedIn and you think you're going to get picked up.
Almost an halfback, or future centre back, I should say. I think that, you know, there'll have to be a lot more that's sort of developed off, you know, like remote testing and then and like a personality sort of thing. If you continue to keep your name up and, you know, like maybe just check in without being annoying, I think that might be a way to go.
You don't reckon try and grow your brand as such? Like, you've got a lot of NBA prospects, young kids. They'll send in mixtapes and they'll put up on their Instagram, you know, them hooping down the local courts. You don't see some 17-year-old kid, you know, maybe balking a chair in the outside 50 just down the local footy club and just slotting it through with nobody there. Taking hangers over beanbags or something.
probably not. It would be interesting, but I mean, it also might come back to that personality sort of question, you know, like,
yeah,
oh, here's just a bit of fun, you know, that I put together. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be thinking that. As we know, the NBA landscape is a lot different to the NFL
different.
One.
Bit different.
But look, it's an awful way of thinking, Ben. And maybe if there are any potential draftees listening in,
Send it to us first.
We'll sort of vet it a little bit and be like, imagine being up at like Anthony the Reserve with your mask on and like dodging no one and then like snapping from the boundary, the ball obviously going out of bounds, and then editing it to a position where the ball goes straight through the middle line.
Well, you can do a lot with Premier Pro these days.
I think you're onto something here, Ben. I think we should
go
into the industry of creating mixtapes for young NFL draftees.
Absolutely. But before we do that, I think we've got a little bit more of the show to get into.
We might as well.
The Magoos.
Even the whole laughing, like when you were having a joke, I think Irving Mosquito was it told the joke on the weekend?
Yeah.
That was blown out of proportion. Everything in footy is about mindfulness now, and that's what Essendon were doing. I don't reckon there's any issues with it, but it's,
yeah.
It's just so
when
overwhelming.
When you're 10 goals down, though, I don't know if it's like the right time to be laughing.
I agree. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. And then Gary Lyon calls that manufactured on the couch, and he goes, oh, they've seen Richmond do it, so now everyone wants to do it. Every team copies what the team before does in every aspect of football, and they try and make it. Like, Richmond didn't make up having a joke at halftime. Like, but they're the first people who implemented it and it works. So, but now it's like another team tries to do it and it's fake. Well, they played a lot better in the second half and they arrived at the ground 50 minutes before the game started. So I'd sort of be, I hope that I pile into Essendon as much as you can, but like, my God.
Well, Jake, I think this is a really nice way to open the segment for a conference call. I reckon we could just roll right into it.
We just roll straight through. Well, we've got two of the biggest fans of two of the biggest clubs. So, I mean, we'd be absolutely remiss to talk about any other club any longer other than probably the biggest game of the season thus far, and that is Geelong and Richmond. And that game this weekend, this Friday night footy at Metricon Stadium, it's huge. Two teams that we think are going to be in the top four and probably go very, very deep into September. We're very lucky to have Triple M and Magoo's royalty, Rudy Edsel, joining us back on the podcast. Big Geelong man, Rudy, welcome back.
Hello, lads. I'm excited for this. I've been on the pod a couple of times, but this is my conference call debut, and I could not be more excited.
Yeah, we're expecting full Geelong from you, which would be great. And joining us again after a sterling debut a few weeks ago, and after a pretty big couple of weeks for the Tigers as well, is the great Sam Mopper-Matrovsky. Sam, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I thought I told you to call me Dusty Martin at Two's Footy, but maybe next time you remember that.
That did slip my mind. We'll start with you, Mopper, because it was a massive week for the Richmond Footy Club and things continue to sort of just bubble away behind the scenes and the hub breach and sending home of two of the boys. How do you think that's going to affect those that remain in the Brisbane hub and as the club flows into another massive final series?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. First of all, I was absolutely spewing when that came up, you know. What was it, Friday, I think it all came about and I was listening to SEN and it slowly just dripped out. I was absolutely shattered for the news and, you know, there's no standing up for him on this. And just on all that, like, it's got to play a bit of a part because you always hear about off-field sagas and they end up catching up with teams on-field eventually. So I think, you know, I think we're travelling well enough that we'll get by, but it doesn't help playing Geelong this week. You know, they're the best in the competition and they'll be able to just make the most of this culture that's now being questioned. And I think the question is right. Like, that Vlosten thing was taken completely out of proportion, I think. But the little things, I mean, Benny Gale in his interview actually acknowledge that we've been pretty tough to deal with. So you don't like hearing that as a pretty loyal supporter of the club. So I think it'll affect us in some way. But how far that is, I think we'll find out Friday night at the, you know, at the latest. I don't think it'll go on any longer. So, yeah.
And Rudy, the Cats, on the other hand, they're almost flying under the radar for a team that's been, you know, very successful for a long time. I think that they're almost the quiet achiever, and they're going to finish top four, and they're playing some incredible footy, including dismantling Ben's Mob Essendon on the weekend.
This is the way you like it. When your footy club is going well, you love no one to notice it until 3 or 4 weeks out from the end of the season because there's nothing worse than starting off like a house on fire, getting to the mid-season bye and then falling apart, which I can tell you all about. We look best in show at the moment. I remember last time I was on here, I was like, oh, the Cats, they'll look good and then fall apart in a prelim. Ha, ha, ha. The way they've done it the last few years. But there's something different this year, lads. There's something different. I don't know what it is, but they're a bit harder. They're a bit tougher. It's almost like Hub Life. It's like they're like the anti-West Coast or the anti-Richmond. Hub Life has like genuinely galvanised them. The Hub seems to have worked out well for teams with a heap of old blokes. 32-year-old Tommy Hawkins is looking great. Paddy Dangerfield at 30 has worked into the season beautifully. Cam Guthrie and Mitch Duncan look well. It's the moment. Yeah, the Cats just seem to have a winner on every line all the time. Hopefully this time we play Richmond, we'll even be able to play Mark Blixarves as a key defender, which should hopefully take Tommy Lynch out of the game. So I think things are looking seriously up down in Sleepy Hollow, boys.
It certainly sounds confident. That is for sure. I don't think I've heard you this confident before.
At least.
Yeah, I'm surprising even myself with the confidence.
Put Blixarves on a wing halfway through the year rather than in a qualifying final against the Pies this year round. So it's much smarter if you ask me.
Yeah, indeed. But it has genuinely surprised me just how good we look. It's been really impressive to watch. And they seem to be able to win games different ways now too, which is another interesting thing. Like the Bulldogs win the other night was really impressive because they found themselves 6 goals down and went, oh, you know what, boys, we'll just get them back by being better than them. And they did it instead of panicking as they would have done the last couple of seasons. And I'm just feeling really good about Geelong at the moment.
You're sounding emotional, mate.
That must be nice.
lift yourself up. Now, you were on here a couple of weeks ago, obviously, and you did say, you know, you'd be typical Geelong where you would lose a prelim, and you sounded content with that. But what has changed since then to now? Because I hate to admit as well, but I believe that they could definitely go all the way. What's changed? Well, for you, if you could just, you know, pinpoint, say, one thing.
It was probably the way we knocked off Port in that game when we really, really smashed them and wouldn't let them play their game was probably the point where I went, Geelong are actually a fair bit better than I thought. And then, yeah, like I said, the Bulldogs game the other night where they had to win a different way to the way they normally win, super impressive. And it just seems like I've still got a few questions here or there about the game plan under a heap of pressure, but they seem like they're a lot more equipped to deal with that now than they have done because they've been sort of like the Clayton's flag chance for the last few years where they're a top four team when you're not really a top four team. And this season, it just seems different. Like it just seems, like I mentioned, a harder edge. They just genuinely look like they know what to do in the really tough moments. And it seems to me to be the first time for several years where the distance between sort of like the top six of the list and the bottom 16 has sort of constricted a bit. Whereas for the last few years, it's just really been all on like Patrick Dangerfield needs to get absolutely everything done or we're stuffed. And even if he does get everything done, we're still stuffed sometimes. Whereas this season it's been kind of like the guys that I mentioned, like Mitch Duncan and Cam Guthrie. And then obviously Tommy Hawkins having a genuinely career best season at the age of 32 is something I didn't really see coming.
He's been outstanding, Tom Hawkins, like truly outstanding. It's like the way he just manhandled Michael Hurley on the weekend, I've haven't seen anything like it in a long time.
There has to be a 2-year contract on the table for Tom Hawkins, isn't there? I know his age, but he's going to be the Coleman medalist in the All-Australian full forward. I'd be tying my brand to that man for another couple of years, surely.
1,000,000% agree with you on that. I'd give him minimum 2. Minimum 2.
Rudy calls for 5-year monster deal. Hawkins to play till 40.
I've got a mate that's a mad Geelong supporter, Mr. Champion Data, Daniel Hoyne himself. Mock, you know, I'm big noting here. But we were having a chat during the week just about the Cats. You know, their older players saying how they don't rely on them as much this time around. And they've actually got a good bracket. Like, they've just continually got kids pushing through to that middle bracket age that they're in their prime. And I was reeling off names and I mentioned, you know, guys like Selwood and Ablett and Danger that they're not relying on as much. And there's other people standing up around them like Guthrie, for instance, and Duncan, who has been such a star for a long time now. And I just completely forgot about Tomahawk in that older group. And Dan's like, oh, don't forget about Tom Hawkins. I'm like, he looks like he's 25 still. Like, he's just in the prime of his career. It's ridiculous. And it's good to watch. It's great.
He looked like he was 25 when he was 16, and he looked like he was 25 when he's 41.
Yeah. After he wins his 8th Com medal in a row.
Yeah.
The Cats.
That's a lot of Cat talk for the opening of the segment. And Rudy, you did touch on you're not sure about how the game plan goes under a good pressure team and a lot of pressure. So Sam, is that the big key for Richmond this Friday night is just that pressure footy?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's got to be. I mean, I still think we're a little bit off. Like, we've got to improve a little bit on our defense. Still lets through a lot of goals, I think. Going forward, we still turn it over, just kicking inside 50. It's been a real issue. But you go back to that West Coast game. I mean, the Fremantle game, we'll forget, because that was a pretty average game of footy. But that West Coast game, we just sort of I haven't seen it before, but we just flexed our muscles a bit. And, you know, that's what good teams do. I mean, they apply that pressure and then they just go. So I think that's what we're going to look to do to Geelong on Friday night. But I think it's going to have to come from the back line. It's going to have to start from the back line because their forwards are just working so well together. But if you put a little bit of pressure on guys like, you know, Grian Myers, who's running up the ground a bit, I don't know whether Brad Close will play, but if he happens to play, put pressure on the younger guys, and it all just sort of works its way to the top eventually, and you catch up on that. So, yeah, I think it's going to have to come from our pressure game if we're going to beat the Cats.
It's interesting with Richmond because, you know, we talk about all the off-field stuff and they're seemingly, you know, there is plenty of spotlight on them, but they've won 4 in a row. They'll be hard-pressed to not finish in the top 4. They'd have to lose to Adelaide seemingly to not make the top 4. And, you know, they've got more depth than I've had hot dinners, and they've got like all these, you know, players that can potentially come in and return, and we know that they're a powerhouse. So, I mean, surely you're sitting there, Mopper, at this stage and just, you know, quietly confident that, you know, again, you haven't had to be in the top 2 the whole year, but you're going to position yourselves really nicely going into the final series.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the depth is just unbelievable, and even I questioned it for a long time. And you know, when we lost Cochin during the year and Asprey went down and Edwards has stayed home and Basher stayed home, players like that, you do think that it's just going to catch up at some stage and you're not going to be able to keep hanging on. And the inexperience is going to kick in and, you know, you'll lose a few games here and there. But they just continue to surprise. But again, just on all that depth, you know, to go back to Geelong, I mean, they've got that too now. And I think they've been – last year they were the best team in it, you know, for the – 22 weeks of the home and away season, but come finals, they sort of fell apart a little bit, but that prelim final, they were ridiculously good for a half of footy. And even for the second half of footy, they played really good footy, but we just overran them. And they're now getting that depth as well. So I think that you've got the two top teams. And I said it a few weeks ago when we played Port Adelaide on here, I said, you've got the best team in it. I thought Port were, but just after watching what Geelong does and the depth that they have, I think they're the best team in it at the moment by some margin, and I think we're not close behind. It probably is the two best teams in terms of the depth that we've got. So, it is great to watch.
It's going to be a cracker this Friday night. I think that, you know, as the footy sort of heats up, it sort of felt like, while it seems it's sort of gone quickly, it sort of felt like, because there's been so much footy, you know, you sort of lose track of where the season's at. And then, you know, all teams have got two games to go now, and it's, and, you know, these games are going to keep coming, and they're going to, like, this is genuinely could be a preliminary final preview. It was the preliminary final we've seen in the past, and things obviously didn't go the Cats' way. But Rudy, we know how confident you are. So this Friday, what's the tip? You know, how many is Tomahawk going to kick? How many touches is Danger going to get? All these sort of things. Let's pump up the Cats here. Full enough.
Dylan Grimes is back, isn't he?
They're saying he could play, and I think if West Coast happen to win tomorrow night, then he will play, because we'll have to go all out to make the top four. But if West Coast happen to drop it, I wouldn't be surprised if Grimes misses.
Oh, maybe only six of Tomahawk then. No, I think Tommy's going to have to play a huge role, regardless of if we're going to win. Tommy's going to have to play a huge role regardless of who he plays on. I'm backing him to do it because he's apparently unstoppable this year. I think we'll knock him off by about 15 points or so, and I reckon this might be one of those classics that you see late season sometimes between a couple of pretenders, a couple of contenders, I should say, not pretenders, eyeing each other up and looking to really. A couple of contenders just beating their chests like silverbacks, looking to really establish some dominance going into finals. I think this could be an absolute ripper.
And Sam, the floor is yours. Will it be a shootout with two of the most influential key forwards in the competition if the big man Tommy Lynch gets going as well?
Yeah, I think it would. I think he really flexed his muscles last year in that preliminary final, kicking five, and I wouldn't be surprised if he happens to do it again. Just on, you know, Tomahawk playing full forward, I think Bolter's going to go to him, and if we're going to be, you know, a good chance, and I've said this so often and I ramble on about it, but you just can't play body on body with Tomahawk. You have to sit behind him because you can't get in front of him because he's too smart and he'll know where to go. So I think if we're going to win, we're going to have Bolter nullify Tom Hawkins, and we're going to need Tom Lynch to step up. I mean, he's been slowly building, and I think it's time that, you know, the Bears woken up, and he is going to flex his muscles. As we said, the Silverback Gorilla, he's the man to flex the muscles for the Tigers, I think. So I'm going to say Richmond by two goals even.
Nice. Well, Ben, I think we're going to be the real winners here because it sounds like it's going to be an absolute cracker for the neutral. So Friday night footy, gentlemen, thank you both so much once again for joining the Magoos. We love having you guys on, and I dare say that as we roll through, I was going to say September, the back end of September and all of October, you two may be featuring prominently on this podcast, as I reckon you'll be going nice and deep. So thank you once again, and I'm sure that this is not the last time we'll hear from you, and good luck on Friday night.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Keep
the Magoos.
Jake, I want to get your opinion on something.
Of course.
Just straight up opinion. Had just my story on Instagram, just a humble sort of, it was a snapshot into our recycling bin or our bucket at home. And you know, during lockdown, there's been a few naughties in there, just some chocolates and, you know, red wines and beers, that sort of thing. Got an overwhelming response of replies to the TV snacks. People absolutely loving the TV snack, saying they're an underrated snack, and wanted to get my thoughts on it. And I totally agree. I think they're severely slept on, the TV snacks. What do you think of TV snacks?
Well, I would not have had a TV snack for that long. I reckon the last time I would have had a TV snack was, well, maybe not the last time, but the last time I really tangibly remember having a TV snack was like probably like like 10 or so years ago, playing like seconds or thirds cricket, when like you have to bring your own afternoon tea sort of thing, and people would bring like a melted box of TV snacks. I remember them being quite good.
That's a good memory.
I just haven't, yeah, that's just what I associate TV snacks with. I've never really sat down and watched TV with them, but I remember that, you know, they're like the ones like the biscuit in the middle and like a chocolate.
Yeah, they're humble sort of snack. They're not like in your face or bland at the same time. They're just in between.
Are they Moorish?
They definitely are Moorish, yes. Yeah, because they're quite small in nature and quite light.
I might have to dabble.
Well, it's just interesting because they're still hanging around. Clearly, I don't know where they came from. I think we might have got a care package from housemate Sam's mum, which was great. But it's not something you've seen advertising for the last 10 to 15 years.
No, they're sort of like, I actually remember when they started, as we were in primary school. I mean, Arnott's make them, so they're obviously profitable enough because a big company like that wouldn't just churn them out for
no, that's right,
for no reason. So they're $2.50 at Woolworths. So I might have to. What colour was the box that you had?
I think we had the yellow one, which is
the malt sticks.
Oh, okay, yeah, malt sticks.
Were they sticks?
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
there you go. So yeah, they're still making them, and they're although they're $1.82 at Coles. So I mean, you'd be crazy if you went to Woolworths for them. But yeah, I might have to grab some malt sticks TV snacks then.
Yeah. Yeah, should preface, not an ad, by the way. Just wanted to
tell
them
Ben sent you.
Yeah. Coles will be like, who?
The Magoos.
Any another massive episode of The Magoos. It's been a pretty good month for us, I think, month and a bit. And look, as we head into the finals, it's only going to get better and better. I see there you're really starting to drink our bathwater. You're just relaxing with a glass of red wine as we close this show.
Indeed.
Gee, it must
I
be
am
nice.
Indeed. I am, Jake. And yeah, it has been nice. It's been a really good, well, it's early. It's not, we can't say season yet, but it's been good though, hasn't it? It's just you know, ticking along, a lot of consistency.
We need to make sure, though.
You've had a great season, by the way.
I don't disagree. But we need to make sure, though, that everything that we've done before this, it counts for nothing if we don't finish it off. You know, we need to stick to our processes. This has got us to where we are for a reason, and there's no reason why we should stray away from that.
What the Bulls say, 72-10, don't mean a thing.
I don't mean a thing without the ring, Benny boy.
Without the ring, that's it, Jaggy boy.
So make sure you head to all our socials, give us a like, share, subscribe, tell your friends, rate us on your podcast app. We really appreciate all the support. Plenty more coming. Enjoy footy, because for a lot of teams, for more than half the teams in the comp, it's going to be over very, very soon. But then we move into the serious stuff, the finals, which we love. So thanks for listening again to the Magoos, and we'll speak to you again shortly.
Bye.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.